listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
Now, where did we leave off? Ah, yes. A vicious Linorm ambushed the team, fighting ferociously and downing Val with its electric venom before they could bring it down. They had just enough time to revive Val when the Linorm began to twitch and get back up.
Don't make him spit all over the equipment.
It's fine. We'll have to get it some other time. It's not good unless it's genuine.
Oh my god.
Canonically, we'll just have to follow him with a
mic. Somebody stop poking Sam.
What kind of ASMR are we doing?
The good kind.
There's your blooper reel.
Hello. Welcome to Atomic Broadcasting, the ASMR channel, the only ASMR podcast where we consistently poke Sam. That was a nice poke. Another good one. Right in the side.
How squishy can one man be?
That was a pinch. I'm not going to lie. That one was a pinch.
Best one I have.
Oh, hey, Jordy, could you explain the regeneration thing to us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
yeah, why the heck did this thing get back up?
In Pathfinder 2e, there is a trait that creatures can have called regeneration. It is most commonly notably found on trolls. And what regeneration means is that at the start of a creature's turn, they will regain however much health is tied to the regeneration trait. This is regardless of whether or not the creature has the dying trait. They will still get that health back. And if a creature has active regeneration, they cannot die. Even if you like cut off their head, cut them into tiny pieces, they're going to Wolverine themselves back together and get back up again.
Could I have regeneration?
Yes, but it's through a variant feat called the Troll. It's under the Troll variant.
I think if I take that worm archetype, I can get it too.
Oh, neat. There's a lot of... My question, every time we kill it, does it get knocked prone?
Yes. So it will drop as if it has died, and then it will start regenerating and get back up again. So at this point, the Linorm, since it's like starting to get back up, it's prone right now. You know, it has been dead, essentially, and it's regenerating and getting back up. Now, every creature that has regeneration, there is some way to stop it. So trolls, pretty common. You guys are level 6. You know, if you're up against a troll, you've got to damage it with fire or acid to stop that regeneration. Linorms, lots of people have different legends and rumors about what you have to do. Some people say you have to wear your socks inside out. Other people say you have to do the final blow while your eyes are closed, things like that.
Someone get to change in their socks.
My socks are always inside out.
Then why is it not dead?
Zephyr doesn't wear socks.
Zephyr doesn't...
Canonically, Zephyr doesn't have socks.
No, he doesn't wear them.
He might have
them.
He
has socks. They're always in his bag.
Just in case.
You never know when you'll need socks.
And since Zephyr is not wearing socks, the Linorm, who has no feet, sees him as a kindred spirit and wants to give him a hug and lashes out as it spends one action...
But I'm a tank. Could it attack me?
No, Sam.
You can't reach. You're far away.
Oh, yes,
you are almost dead.
It rises from prone and lashes out with its tail at Zephyr.
Great.
And what is your AC, Zephyr?
It's like 79.
He's unhittable.
Critical hit.
Oh, no.
23.
So this is a critical hit.
Oh! Why did I have to open my big mouth?
Sven, get out of here right now.
You are kicked out of the podcast.
I will see myself out for that one.
I'm fired again.
This is the third time we've had to fire you.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I think this might be the fifth time we fired Smith.
Oh, wow. That'll be 23 bludgeoning damage.
Ouch.
Mm. How much?
23.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't double it.
Wait. Did you roll?
I didn't.
Yeah.
He's still dazzled from the blood dripping in his
eyes. Yeah.
Okay, 16.
Darn.
So he successfully lashes out with
Stop.
His tail.
Glimpse of redemption.
Oh.
They're both within 15 feet of me, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Either the Linor must choose. Either an ally is unharmed by the triggering damage, or the ally gets resistance equal to 8. And after the effect is applied, the Linor becomes enfeebled 2.
Nice.
What's the phrasing on option A?
The ally is unharmed by the triggering damage.
I choose option A.
There's an extra effect.
Well, yeah, it's a lightning bite. It's biting, right?
It's tail lashing.
Oh, the free grab.
So it starts lashing out with its tail. Val, you know, yells out at it. I don't know. What does Glimpse of Redemption look like?
Oh.
A glimpse of redemption.
Yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I've never had a glimpse of redemption before. I'm a game master.
Go do
so. It says your foe hesitates under the weight of sins as a visions of redemption play in their mind's eye. So I imagine some of those little Kirby crackles fly around it, seeing, and it sees some sort of mental, like, I wouldn't even know what it's seeing, but it's seeing something that is bringing it some sort of guilt.
Mm. And you get that sense of hesitation, and that tail that was moving swiftly like it was going to smack you instead just kind of slows down and starts trying to curl around you and grab you instead. Mm. What is your fortitude DC?
21.
Okay, so regular success. So it doesn't deal any damage to you with its tail, but it does grab you in its tail. Now, it does have improved grab, so that was a free action. And then it's going to, holding you close to its tail, just try to bite you.
Oh.
It gets a regular hit on you, not a critical.
That's good.
You take 18 piercing damage.
Oh my gosh.
And then I will need a fortitude save.
We're all going to be chaining lightning amongst each other.
18.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
You start to feel the crackling of electricity where it bit you. And you take 14 electricity damage.
Buzz, buzz.
Ouch. How you doing, Zephyr?
About half.
And you also become drained one.
Oh, my gosh.
That is the end of the Linorm's turn.
1d8 damage?
Yes. He has harmed one creature. So he takes 1d8 damage, and he is still bleeding.
7.
1.
And it just drops to the ground.
Does it only get 5 hit points?
Amazing.
But now you all know that this creature will probably get back up in the next few seconds.
Its eyes are good now. It's no longer bleeding.
Oh, man.
Dang it.
And no longer dazzled.
Well, that changes my turn, Sam.
Yeah, it's not frightened either.
You can go stab with
the
spear.
We have to stop the regeneration
my plus
somehow.
To hit is like
okay,
two.
Do you want to just give me the spear and yeah. I'll go finish it off?
So I will interject real quick. A spear is a simple weapon, so all of you are trained or better with the spear, depending on your training with simple weapons. The Linorm is dead right now, which means it is off guard and unconscious, so it has an effective -6 to its armor class.
Yeah.
And with that, it is Alward's turn.
What I'm going to do on my turn, since it's downed, is I'm going to grab the Spear of Cold Iron we got last time, because we believe it to be Fey as a Linorm, and then I'm going to step to Val, and then give Val the spear as an interact action.
All right. So Val, you're lying on the ground. Your wounds are beginning to close with that healing potion. There's still the crackling electricity in your shoulder, but Alward steps up and hands you the spear.
I know you're hurt, but can you...
I'm going to kill this thing.
Okay. And I'm going to pat Val's shoulder.
A little spark.
Just little bitty sparks.
And you can see now that when you go in to do pat, like some of that black stuff's coming out of her wounds.
Black stuff?
Yeah. From her black veins near where her arm was left.
Okay.
We could talk about that later.
And with that, it is Val's turn.
She gets up.
She starts her turn.
Oh, no.
With a fortitude save.
Don't
die.
Oh,
my gosh.
I got that. That's good. That's 22.
What's that on the die?
11 on the die.
I just wanted to check because that's a regular fail.
What? I thought that was a success earlier.
No.
What?
It was a nat 20 that was a success.
Or I thought someone else succeeded earlier.
Ew.
9 electricity damage.
I'm A-okay.
Okay.
So the electricity begins flaring up in her as she's using the spear to help her get up. And she starts just limping her way over to the monster. And she just doesn't say anything, but looks very angry. And the veins are starting to kind of get stronger. And she's just going to try and stab right down in its neck with this cold iron spear. Let us hope. Let us wow.
So it's a -4 status penalty for being unconscious and a -2 circumstance penalty for being off guard.
34.
That's a critical.
Oh.
Yes.
Nine points of damage with the cold iron spear.
So as you stab into it with this cold iron spear, before when it was reduced to 0 HP, it would just sort of collapse and then eventually get back up with its wounds knitting back together. This time, as you stab it, it just kind of goes limp and you feel like before it almost had a sort of playing dead sort of sense, and now it just almost has just the sense of just being like a dead fish, just there, not moving. There seems to be no sense of any form of life or potential left in it. But I will need a will save.
Oh, no.
Okay. 22.
Interesting. As you land that final blow, and you're confident that you have killed the Linorm.
Nothing happens. I knew it.
She's just going to yell in anger and then just stab down again.
So immediately after Val has thrust the spear into the neck, however many times she does, Zephyr pulls out the dagger out of his right boot and imbues it with his spell strike of the ignite and starts to just carve as quickly as he can around the neck.
That's really cool.
As the two of you are working on just severing the head of this thing and just going at it with your fire-imbued dagger and your cold iron spear, I'm going to need another fortitude save from each of you, just tracking along with this electricity that's crackling.
I'm going to give Val guidance.
Okay.
26.
With guidance?
Yeah.
Petite? Oh, no.
Do it.
What did you roll?
A natural one. I just spent a card. Let's please be better. Much better. 24.
Nice.
And the effect ends for both of you.
Oh my gosh.
So Val leaves the spear just like plunged in its eye and then starts limping away and just starts throwing up. And it's this mix of usual looking vomit with some black mixed in with it and blood.
Uver sees that, and anybody looking at him, you're just going to see this very, very grim and sad expression just come on his face. And he just slowly walks over to Val, and as she's heaving this stuff up, he places a hand on her shoulder and he just says, "How long?"
As you place your hand on her shoulder, she actually forcefully throws her arm out at you. And very, not raspy, but not great. It's just like, "Away!"
I'm sorry, did you say away?
Go away.
Oh. Can I make a check to see what could have caused the black vomit?
Make a religion check.
She gets down on her knees and she's just weak. I mentioned before the smell change. It's getting more of like bad, not quite like rotting flesh, but something akin.
Like rancid?
Yeah.
29.
It's difficult to tell exactly what may have caused this or like what's going on, but these seem to be related to some form of like undead curse or undeath thing going on. The smell, the bile, it all has earmarks of some sort of progression towards undeath.
Uver, after she says that, he steps back and he looks at Cornelius And again, with that same face, he just says, "How long?"
Cornelius notices you as you're looking. He just kind of like averts his gaze. He doesn't want to meet your eyes. He's just like,
"I think that's something for her to share with you when she's ready."
Jordy, these new symptoms, apparently. Can I make a check on those to see a progression?
Yeah. Go ahead and make a religion check.
As you're doing that, she unbuckles her arm, her prosthetic arm, and kind of like just puts it down aside of her.
24.
Uver, you're familiar with ghoul fever. It's a well-documented disease that you can catch when bitten by a ghoul, and it's nothing like this. Ghoul fever would be more akin to having like a stomach bug or the flu or something, and you might see some vomiting and such like that, but it tends to be more that the digestive system is dying before the rest of the body. But what's going on with the veins and the bile in her blood, as far as you're aware, has nothing to do with the ghouls.
Does it proc anything that I've read or heard or anything?
This might be a thing that I already told you, so that might proc something for you. She did mention that she, like, her arm was taken in presumably some sort of like offering or sacrifice to Urgothoa.
But anything arcana or ancient lore, ancient empire lore, anything? Or would this be purely religion?
This would be a purely rigid religion situation.
Okay.
You get the sense that this is something unusual enough, given what you're able to witness, that you're going to need either more information from Val to figure it out, or you're going to need to be able to do some research and compare cases.
Uver walks over to Cornelius, and he just says in ancient Thessalonian, as Jenkins pricks his ears up.
No, my headset was falling off.
This doesn't seem like the fever as I know it. No, it's something more. I don't know what the end game is, and I don't know how long she has left or how to stop it, but I don't think she's of any danger to you or your friends.
I'm not worried about the danger to us. I am purely worried about her.
Well, that's a change.
Oof. Oof.
Perhaps.
Ver just takes that with
stride.
No.
Pondering?
More of, that's not how I've ever felt, but
hurt.
Offense.
Trying not to show offense. You can see that affected him, but not in the, okay, that's fair, but more of, no, that's not true, but I'm not going to argue it right now. Mm. There probably is a word for that, but I don't have one.
Write in. Let us know.
Yeah. What is that word?
I want a $15 word for that feeling.
If we like your word, we'll insert it into this episode after the fact.
I will learn to pronounce this word.
So re-listen to it a couple of times.
This episode was sponsored by
you.
Megalomania.
My listeners like you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know much about what could cause this, and I'm not going to pry into what caused this unless she asks, but I do know people. I do know beings that might have an answer, that are far older and wiser than I. We might be able to help her. And I am willing to try.
Cornelius kind of drops his shoulders a little bit more in a just a softer stance. He seems less on guard and is just like,
if you want to help, then you'd probably better talk to her yourself. I'm not going to be a go-between for this. I don't want her to see me as someone who's enabling these friendships. It has to be something she's built on her own.
That I do understand. Perhaps later.
After listening to that conversation, Alward's going to turn and tap Neros on the shoulder with a mage hand. And then the mage hand is just going to, like, point toward Val, and Alward's going to be like, maybe you should...
I, like, turn and was like, yeah, I was about to.
I don't know. I can't read your mind.
You just assumed.
She seems lonely, and I know you guys get along.
Yeah, I was heading over there.
Then the mage hand gestures, like, go on, then.
I give the mage hand a high five. And I walk over to...
It's no longer mage hand. It's telekinetic hand.
Oh, whatever. I give the telekinetic hand a high five. And I walk over to Val. I don't say anything. I just kind of kneel beside her. Just as in a show of solidarity and comfort. But just to let her know that I'm there.
She leans into it and cries a little.
I start crying. Abby, not Neros.
Neros is stone-faced. No emotion.
Neros will put her arm around Val. Just try to comfort her.
Zephyr has just been sitting next to the severed head of the Linorm. Just on the ground. You can see now his eyes have returned to a deep blood red as he slowly drinks one of his healing potions. He slides his dagger back into his boot. Not on fire.
After Alward tried to give Nero a little nudge that she didn't need.
She was heading over there anyway.
Yeah, it happens. He's going to go check on Zephyr. Are you good? It bit you too.
I'm fine. At least I will be in a bit.
I don't think we have the ability to keep that head.
It's okay. Nobody needs it, especially not him. Just leave it here.
I thought you wanted a trophy.
No, I literally just wanted to take the head off.
People become kings for killing these things.
That changes nothing.
Fair.
I start to... I pull my knife back out and just start... Does it have scales, by the way?
It does.
Zephyr just starts kind of scraping off some of the scales around the neck, descaling it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can cook that.
No, I don't want you to cook it. I'm just going to take a few of the scales with me. How are you? You didn't get hurt at all, I don't think.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fit as fiddle.
It's good to know that some of us are getting out of this unscathed.
At this point, Val starts saying some prayers and then starts laying on hands on herself.
You can tell Zephyr is actively not looking to you for help.
Okay. She's actually not in the moment looking to help anyone. She's kind of just focused on herself right now. Thank you, Neris, for helping me.
Are you all right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. The corruption I've been feeling in me has been getting stronger.
Is that what that... And she points at the vomit pile. Oh. Like, is that what that is?
I imagine so. And, you know, she's got her... She has her prosthetic off, so you can, like, see all the veins on her arm. The closer I've gotten to you, it hasn't gotten that intense before. Maybe it was because I almost died. I don't know. Last time it's flared up, it was when I killed Saito.
Oh.
And now this It's like something, like there's another presence here. I've been feeling it get stronger lately. I don't quite know what it is. I can only imagine it's some sort of influence from Argatho or something, whatever that cult might have done to me.
Well, we'll figure it out. I don't know what it is either, but we'll figure it out.
I hope so. I don't want to accidentally hurt anyone.
Well, we'll try not to let that happen.
As she's like lays on heel hands again, she starts looking more like herself, and like the corruption's starting to kind of die down again. Is Zephyr all right? I think I heard him get hurt.
I actually don't know. I haven't checked on him yet.
Okay. Yeah, let me pray for another minute, and I can check in on him.
Okay. Are you sure you're going to be okay?
No. But I have you guys. I have you. So it'll be fine. It'll work out. Frasmo is there. So is Shellen.
Right. You can see like a wave of doubt go over Nerissa's face.
Phew. Val kind of finishes that prayer and puts her arm back on. Takes a very deep breath. And then gets up and starts heading over to Zephyr. Zephyr?
Yes?
You alright?
I will be.
Do you need some healing? I can help you out some.
It really depends.
Depends on what?
I'm not sure where we're going or what we're doing from here.
Sorry to jump in on the conversation. The mission's the same, Zephyr. We're still looking for that person.
Yes, but it seems that the trail that we were on with those quills seems to have died, so to speak.
Wasn't there also the footprints? Like a whole trail of people down this way?
I believe so.
Kept track.
We can find it again, and we can keep going. Here, let me help you. And she's going to reach out to lay on hands.
He recoils just a little at your touch and just kind of accepts it.
Okay, that's 18 hit points. And she kind of takes that and takes a step back.
Frost troll.
What?
What?
The Linorm was dragging a frost troll.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to look at the frost troll and the direction that the Linorm was dragging it from.
Because theoretically, the frost troll would still be alive. Because it also has regeneration.
Yeah, it's been dead this whole fight, though, so...
Yeah, it does seem to be dead.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm going to open my cowl cape thing and call out for Rustiford.
Rustiford flutters out and perches on your shoulder.
Rustiford, it seems we are in need of your services once again. I'd like you to just kind of scope out the area that you first saw that troll.
Right, I will do so. One moment. He flies off to the north where he originally went.
Val's going to kind of go up close to Uver, but she seems like she's keeping a bit of a distance. And she looks like she's going to say something to you, but she looks hesitant, almost scared, like holding back maybe a bit of a tear, but she looks like it's directed to you, like scared of you.
Uver, he just looks like he's in deep in thought, as if considering a bunch of details, but when you walk up and he sees you and your look of possible fear, he just gives you a big grandfatherly smile and just nods at you in acknowledgement that you're there. He doesn't say anything.
She kind of looks down and she's kind of fidgety And she just, and he'll, you know, there's that look of like she's kind of holding back tears or something. Kind of that fear. And she's like, I'm sorry. And then she walks away.
For what?
She just keeps going.
Anybody that's looking at Uvera, you'll just see this look of like deep sadness for what she's gone through. And he once again goes back into that contemplation, but there seems to be a bit more determination and urgency to it.
Val kind of collects herself for a second, does one more lay on hands, and she takes a deep breath again. And she's like, all right, everyone. Are we all good to keep heading out? Following the trail?
We're waiting on Rustiford.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And as if on cue, Rustiford flutters back from the north.
Good bird.
And is like, the trail continues some ways to the north, but from the footsteps, it seems like we may be approaching our destination.
Wonderful. I think we should all get a move on.
Yeah. Everyone ready?
Hmm.
I'm going to keep Rustiford on my shoulder.
All right.
He doesn't get to go back yet.
Uvera will take point.
All right. I'm going to hug Sigurn and then have her kind of stay up in the trees, high enough that she can kind of watch up ahead, but not so high she's getting stuck up in the trees.
Mm-hmm. Which, these are very big trees. Plenty of room for that.
Yeah.
So you continue on your way, moving north, somewhat shaken by your encounter, but patched up and ready to move on. In the immediate north of this clearing where you were fighting, there seems to be disturbed brush and a bit of, you know, torn up turf where this body of the frost troll was dragged to where you found it. But before too long, you do start seeing those footprints again, where it seems that this Lenorm had fought the frost troll and started dragging it from there. There doesn't seem to be any further disturbance north than that. And the footsteps, or the footprints, continue on to the north. And I presume you continue following them?
Mm-hmm.
Did the frost troll have anything on him?
Nah, just like a dirty loincloth.
Grab it, we can give it to Pilgrim.
Ew.
I don't want to be exposed to that.
I think Pilgrim can, you know, get enough
I think
clothing
he can
for
make
himself.
Himself some clothes or something.
I forgot who, but somebody gave Pilgrim a dirty loincloth from the zombies.
Ew.
So as you push on forward, you're moving to the north, following these footprints. And at one point along your journey, you dip down into a little dell. There's some mushrooms by the side of the road. It's cool. And
Mufasa.
And quiet. My apologies.
He said the M word.
I did.
Pause for Abby's panic.
Jordy, how could you?
I forget.
It's of okay. All the people.
I'm sorry, that was a visceral reaction.
Do not use the M word.
Nah, it's okay, Abby. The bad word's gone. It can't hurt you anymore.
I forget.
The energy
it
is
wasn't
dissipated.
Even a good word. It should have been damp.
Yeah.
I would love to interject something but to get us off of that awful subject.
Blah.
That on the way towards where we are, I am just making slight gashes with my dagger, just in case the foot...
Uvera would stop that as soon as he saw
we
that.
We can't damage
no, can
the
I do
forest.
It in the ground? Like to make deeper cuts than footsteps would. Something that wouldn't be washed away by erosion.
No. I don't think so.
We then promised the forest.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's not do that.
It
was like three episodes.
Yeah,
ago.
I don't know. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Promise is a promise.
He drops jelly beans instead.
Candy trail.
It wouldn't do any good in the first place anyway. The forest moves.
Got to find our way back somehow.
We still have the quills, maybe.
No.
They are seeming to thin out at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably the Lenorm that was leaving them behind. That's my theory.
But you do continue pushing on. You go through that lower portion with the fungi, and you come back up to a higher portion, and then you start coming to a small hillock, and the trees around it are a little bit thinner, and there's actually some sunlight that's coming through, and it looks like the ground cover in the area has really taken well to the sunlight, and it seems like a large patch of lavenders and flowers, and the footsteps do seem to go directly through this patch.
Great ticks.
It's a magical forest.
Magical ticks.
That's not better.
Do we all have our tick preventative spray?
I don't.
I wear pants with my socks.
Protect us all from ticks.
You good?
I'm trying to think about a reason why I should not believe Jordy with what he just said. Because I want to roll a perception check because I don't believe this.
You don't believe that there's a patch?
Yeah, I'm getting a weird vibe, but I can't think of a single reason. So let's just walk into this and hope we don't die.
Uver could conceivably have a reason.
I feel like if Jenkins is suspicious, Albert could be suspicious.
Because like,
you're
this
in
is,
a magical weird forest.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen an open area.
That's not true where we camped.
That was open because you pleased the forest.
It was open before we got in there.
Mm-mm.
No, it wasn't?
Okay, well, it wasn't that open.
It was kind of open.
So, yeah, can I check for traps,
I guess? Yeah, go ahead and make a perception check.
What's my perception?
I'm going on this on just because of my one terrain lore.
I mean, clearings like this are not that unusual in the forest, but this is the first time that you've come across such a noticeable clearing in the Grungir Forest.
So that was a natural 20. Woo! For a 32, because
nice.
I had to use my turn back the clock ability. So depending on what happens, depends on how I frame my turn back the clock ability.
Good question. Because your turn back the clock is like, it doesn't go well, and then you do it again and it goes right, right?
So it does not go well. I do it again. I have to take the new result, but it's plus one because I've already done this before.
Mm-hmm.
So like
the screen,
the previous example, the best example would be me falling off the bridge because I know where not to step.
Split screen, 2 hours, you describe what's happening.
Okay, on the left screen.
So we get a split screen, and at the beginning of each of them, Alward like motions for the rest of the group to stop and steps out towards the edge of the flowers. In the left side of our split screen, Alward steps out into the field and is just like looking in every direction very carefully, like walks out into the middle of the field of flowers, and then just sits down and is continuing to look at all directions very carefully, and then just lays down. On the right side of the screen, Alward walks up to the edge of the flowers, looks at one closely, and then much to Uver's concern, plucks one of the flowers and looks at it closely. And then is like, this isn't lavender. I've never seen this flower before in my life.
Real fast, everyone but Uver and Zephyr make a wisdom save.
30.
Not you, Jordy.
Cornelius failed.
Oh, okay.
3.
All right. Val, you remember the other side that went wrong. Instead of it just being a forgotten memory that's like close to grasp, it's full in your mind and you see what's happening.
Oh.
Zephyr and Uver, you remember the original when Alward stepped out into the field and seemingly just fell asleep?
Mm-hmm.
To your memory, like you don't know why, but you also like vaguely remember hearing the baying of a hound in the distance.
The what of a hound?
A baying of a hound.
What do I roll?
What do you roll?
I want to know what that is and what the flower is.
I want to know everything.
Let me know.
It's on brand for Uver.
That's true.
For the flower, let's do that second because I'm sure Alward is also interested in the flower.
Mm-hmm.
For the baying of the hound, which I'm going to say, Alward, you did not hear.
Good enough.
Because you were focused on what you were doing. It was very faint. But for the hound, go ahead and roll occultism.
I would also like to do that since I heard it.
All right.
I'm sad that you didn't get to remember.
Oh, that's okay.
Nieris is still oblivious to time shenanigans.
Yes. And
12 occultism for the howl.
That would be funny if Nieris went like 3 books with never experiencing any of the time shenanigans.
I would love that.
And then Howard finally does it noticeably and she's like, what? And everyone's like, yeah.
Didn't you know?
Did I say 12?
Yes.
I meant 22.
There you go. Better.
22 occultism for the baying.
31.
Ooh, that's good. That wasn't a 20, was it?
It was a 19 on the die.
There you go.
You're not sure entirely. Zephyr, not quite enough for success, but Uver, with that result, as you hear that baying of a hound and you know what Alward was doing, just something stands out in your memory of something of like something that hunts those who might mess with time.
What? No! No!
Oh, no!
But you can't really put your finger on any more details. Just something, you just suddenly feel like...
Not what I thought was going on.
How safe are we when we do this?
Oh, no!
I don't like that.
Oh,
Jordy,
no!
I don't like that.
And that's where we'll end this episode.
No! Wait, what about the flower?
I have a time hound!
All right, and the hero point for this episode is going to go to Sven for the interesting roleplay moments that are seeming to be leading somewhere engaging, both between him and Cornelius and him and Val. So here are your cards, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I am not hero pointless, which is lovely. I gotta think. Like that's what I'm gonna do after. I'm gonna go sit down. I'm gonna go think because
Oh, think. I thought he was saying thank.
I did not like that voice.
And we'll see you all in the next episode.
Goodbye.
This has been an Atomic Broadcasting production. Pathfinder, Galarian, and the Lost Omens world setting are copyright of Paizo. More information at paizo.com. Music in the show is from Monument Studios collection, as well as assorted artists, with some original tracks composed by Jordy Hake. More details in the description. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to share with a friend, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
My thing's real small. It was
same.
Literally just to like push you towards Neros.
I am Neros.
Sorry, Neros. It was to push you toward Val.
I'm headed toward Val.
He puts two mage hands around you and just starts squeezing.
It's basically what I was going to do.